Hello and welcome to Connecting to Host. Today we're going to be talking about Gauntlet, a cooperative top-down hack and slash dungeon crawler developed by Arrowhead Game Studios. You can battle the endless hordes of foes as you and your friends fight for treasure and glory via both local and online co-op multiplayer. Gauntlet is available on Steam and PS4 and currently costs €20, at least on Steam, probably about the same on PS4. But it's been on sale many, many times now, so unless you're super eager to play it, I'd probably wait for it to be at least 50% off. There's also some DLC which you can pick up, which gives you an extra character you can play for €5. We're playing it on our gaming PCs, which we've talked about many times before. The key thing here is that it worked pretty well in ultra-wide, and I've also played it on the PS4 for an hour, which was basically the same experience, although without the beautiful, crisp graphics of ultra-wide. So, Ben, would you like to give us a little overview of the core game?
Yeah, worth mentioning that we played with controllers on the PC as well. Mm-hmm. At least I did. I don't know if you did. I'm assuming you did.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so used Xbox controllers. So it's basically a hack-and-slash dungeon-crawling game where you're going to move your heroes around sort of in like a twin-stick shootery type of way. So you'll move with the left stick and then sort of aim and shoot with the right. There's four core classes, a warrior, a thief, a wizard, and a valkyrie. And then there's a DLC one that you can get, which is a necromancer, I believe. And the basic thing is that you've got various stages that you're going to run through. You shoot lots of enemies, collect lots of treasure, and pick up or shoot some food that's along the way that will regenerate your health. There's a sort of a standard campaign, which is fairly meaty, and then there's an endless mode with randomly generated levels, and you just keep going for as long as you can basically survive. The only other thing to mention really is that you collect gold on each level, and that gold sort of goes into your character's personal bank, and then you can spend it sort of between the levels. So you might finish level 3 and have, you know, a total of 8,000 gold, and then buy something with that between levels to upgrade you for the next bit. Or not, you might just collect it all till the very end of the game because you can't afford anything, but I'm sure we'll come to that.
Yes, that's definitely been our experience. But cool, so I'm going to talk about the base characters that you can play in the game. So there's four, and we never played the Necromancer because we were too tight to buy the DLC. So there's the warrior, who's very Hulk smash. You run around and you can mash one of the buttons to continually swing your hammer. He's got a really powerful attack, but he's always going to be up close. So lots of health, lots of smashing with a hammer. Then there's the thief, which you played primarily, who can run around with the bow. Really good for taking out.
No idea he was a thief. I just thought he was an elf.
Maybe he is an elf, actually.
Oh, okay.
I called him the thief because he had a bow and arrow. So, and you stole all the money.
That'd be a ranger. Sure.
But you stole the gold.
I certainly did.
But he can move around really fast, shoot arrows at the high profile targets, and you had a good dodge that could get you around the screen pretty fast. Then there's a Valkyrie, who runs around with a shield, who is even better at tanking than the warrior. So one of their moves allows her to just hold the shield up, and the enemies will bounce off if they're attacking from the right direction. She can throw her shield around the screen, and just a general good all-rounder with medium health. And then there's the wizard, who is particularly different, and I actually really liked, even though I only played him for a little bit at the end. And he runs around with a spellbook and casts spells. He's really weak and doesn't move very fast, but really versatile with the magic. So it had a little bit of the magicka thing going on, where every time you wanted to, you could switch between certain modes. Like you could double tap a button to bring up a fireball or a teleport or a lightning attack, but you have to kind of switch the mode, fire it off, and then that one will have a 10-second cooldown. So he has to switch his mode again through a different button combination. So it's about learning the button combinations, what the spells are going to be, and throwing them off. And if you got it wrong, because he's so weak, you die pretty quick. So that was challenging, but really fun. I like that. Then there's Necromancer. Who knows? I think can summon undead and other creatures to help fight.
I might be wrong about this, but you can't have the same players playing as the same character, can you? Like, we couldn't both play as the wizard in a single game, could you?
I assumed we couldn't, but we never tried it, to be fair. I'm assuming you can't.
I was going to say that. I mean, it's really sort of, it seems geared towards being a four-player game, and there are four classes, so you'd, like, in a perfect world, you would have four people playing it, and each one would have each one of the classes, because then the wizard can hide behind the Valkyrie and the warrior, and the thief can shoot stuff, but then you've got all your bases covered. Whereas with two, or with one, if you tried it that way, it's obviously a lot harder, because you've just got one subset of abilities, and it kind of tests you on all of them in a way.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I played the warrior and you played the ranger, elf, thief, whatever, for the majority of the game. And that worked pretty well.
In hindsight, the Valkyrie... I didn't play anything else.
No. The Valkyrie might have worked a little bit better, because she was good at just taking the damage, like holding the damage off. But I think it worked pretty well. We didn't really run into too many problems, and we had a lot of fun. So,
yeah.
The warrior was really good at heavy smashes, so destroying bigger enemies, and you are better at, like, pointedly taking out specific things. So I think it worked well. Got a good balance there. But maybe other combinations would work better. I guess the other thing which you mentioned, you touched on briefly, but you can upgrade your character between the levels, which adds a bit of variety. So you can buy new weapons, which might give you a separate kind of special attack, which you can do once every 10 seconds or so. Then you can buy talismans, which were excessively expensive, and we couldn't afford another one throughout the whole game, because if you earn a few hundred or a couple of thousand gold, I guess, per level, the talismans cost 70,000. Then there were relics, which were cool because they gave you a new special move, and there were about 20 of them. So there were things like the boots that made you move faster, and one that could summon guys to fight for you, and they leveled up as well, so you could buy them multiple times. And then there are a bunch of aesthetics, which we could also never afford.
Crazy expensive.
Yeah. In the entire run through, we couldn't afford a single one, right? So,
would you like a purple cloak that does nothing? 70,000 gold. Okay.
So, yeah, that was
a bit peculiar. It's worth mentioning, it's kind of related to all of this, but around the level you will find food. Which, like, it's really weird. There's just, like, these platters of, like, turkey, like, just cooked turkey. So you're, like, roaming around like a spider den. And there's just this beautifully plated turkey that's just there with, like, trimmings around it. Or a pork joint. There's just those two things. Very peculiar. And you can, if you accidentally shoot them, which is very easy to do with the elf, because you've got arrows and you're twirling around with the twin stick shooter firing everywhere. You shoot that stuff pretty easily, and then it just disappears. So I'm not quite sure why putting an arrow in a turkey kills it.
We
discussed it at length, and we came upon the solution that my arrows must have been poison tipped or something.
Yeah,
that's the obviously. Only logical reason. But the other thing to mention was that there's also like these. They look like potions, but they're not. They're like, I think they're linked to one of those. Weapon or something. I forget.
They give you a charge for your talisman. So the talisman gives you a grenade-like ability. I say grenade, it's not always that, but depending on what talisman you have, when you pick up these blue potions, it gives you one charge of that attack.
Yeah.
So we both had a grenade,
always a grenade
basically.
For me, yeah.
But the wizard had some other area of effect, but it was always around him, and the Valkyrie has like a cone-based area of effect attack. So there are the basic ones anyway. We couldn't tell you about the upgrade because we could never afford them.
So the actual game itself, I mean, the campaign is multiple levels. I forget how many. Probably about 20 to 30, would you say?
Yeah.
They sort of go like in a straight line down like a map, and then they have little spurs off. So once you've like completed level 5, you could like do level 5A and 5B, which might be like, you know, little side quests almost, where it'd be basically a way just to get a bit more loot. And we did all of them as we went down, so we'd always go and do every single level, because we assumed that we would want the XP and gold and whatever to upgrade ourselves to be ready for the final fight. But as it turns out, you don't get enough to be any good for the final fight anyway. But we'll come to that. But the levels themselves are basically, they are one of three types. You have what we'll term normal level, which is just get to the end of it and there'll be, you know, stuff along the way. There'll be rooms where you are locked in until you've killed everyone in that area, and then the gates disappear. or little puzzles to solve by moving blocks around or something. But basically, you kill a load of stuff and get to the end. Then there was a really interesting one, which I think is based on the original Gauntlet, where you have to escape death. And basically, death just appears with a little black cloud around him and chases you fairly slowly. But if you touch him, you die.
And his area of effect takes up maybe a quarter of the screen, maybe not quite that much, but it felt there was a big circle of death around him.
On a 1080p screen, it'd be about a quarter.
Yeah.
Ultra wide definitely helps avoiding death. So you have to avoid him as well as doing all the other stuff. So it's basically just, you know, parts of the map are isolated, very much like Thoth, whatever we decided on calling it in the end, when they have the levels where there's bits that are locked off. It basically just limits you to a certain part of the area. And then the other one was single room survival, where you basically are plumped into a little arena, and then you just shoot stuff until it's all dead. It's fairly, I mean, to be fair, all three of them are pretty much the same, but just very minor difference.
The death one adds a unique edge, I think, but the other two are pretty similar. Not that the levels are all the same, like they were different. I like the little mini puzzles, I would say, and the flow in the levels moving. Mixed it up.
Yeah, there was one that was very puzzle-like, where you had to redirect like pools of lava to go around and then push blocks and stuff. It wasn't really a puzzle because there was only one way to solve it, and it wasn't like you were doing something puzzly. You were literally just pushing buttons as you found them, and then it unlocked the end. But it felt more puzzly than that while we were doing it, because we got a little bit lost because it was quite big. But the actual campaign itself, as you go through these levels, is split into three sections. I'd say there's probably about 10 levels each. And I think the first one is kind of like a almost like an overworldy type thing, isn't it? Sort of like being in a basement, almost like wooden
barrels. It's just kind of caves and stuff, right? It felt the like you were going deeper underground as you went through the acts. So the first one was cavey.
The next one was much more cavey, though. It was more like spider webs and, you know, undead skeletons, that kind of stuff. And then the third level was like a more molten lava, mages, all kinds of stuff. Very much sort of Temple of Elemental Evil type feel to it. So it's kind of cool that they changed, and you got different enemy types in each one of those. So there's quite a variety in the enemies. Like, for example, you might get later on, you had like mages that were like chucking spells around, or people that would just, as soon as you shot them, they would explode. And if you were near them, they'd kill you, obviously, because they'd blow up. But it was also quite nice that they killed their own people as well. So if you timed things nicely, like I think my what they call talisman let me throw bombs that were basically like vines that would slow people down. So if there was a choke point, you just chuck it in that, and then everyone's walking towards you and they're just stuck for a little bit, and then you shoot all the exploding ones and just wipes them out easily, which is nice. And apart from that, I think there's not much else to say really about the levels. There's a few where you get like spawners, so these little things appear that just go up and down, and they spawn enemies every couple of seconds, so you have to sort of destroy those first, otherwise you'll get overwhelmed. And the whole thing very much felt like forced to me, as not that the game was forced, but so like the game forced, which we discussed in episode one, I think. It had that kind of very much that look and feel, not so much of the cooperative puzzle stuff, but definitely that sort of sense of, you know, waves and waves of enemies that will overwhelm you unless you do certain things.
And there's definitely a feeling like we had to work together in some bits. Like, okay, you can try and cluster them together with your vines, and then I'll go in my big area of effect slam attack to kill them. You take out the wizards because you've got the range. I'll take out these big guys because I've got the hammer. So that worked really well as well.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, the biggest thing about having to work cooperatively was the fact that it is locked to a single screen as you move around. So if it was a single-player game, obviously, you're going around, the screen moves with you. But when you've got two people, there's no split-screening or anything, and you can't just go off on your own. And, like, even though we're playing online, and I could obviously, if it wanted to, render stuff as I walk away and just show me, you couldn't walk away from each other if you tried. You just got stuck at the edges, and then you normally died because the other person was being surrounded. And it was also quite mean about those edges. Like, quite often if you ran away up into the top corner, then I couldn't see what I was doing and didn't know where I was going, and I just get trapped and die. There's some co-op element there, because there has to be, in the fact that you're managing basic movement together. It's a bit like being in a three-legged race to a certain degree.
Yeah, so I guess just one or two other little bits to clarify before we move on. So we haven't mentioned the skull coins yet, where you start the level with one of these skull coins, which is basically an extra life. And as you kill more bad guys, a little bar goes up, and when it hits the top, you get another one. So I quite like that, because you didn't just start the level with five lives, you started with one, and it meant you had to not die too frequently or too early on, but over the level you got to earn more lives. Hmm. So it felt like quite a nice mechanic.
It would have been nice had the unspent skull coins been turned into gold or something at the end.
That would have been cool.
You know, you didn't die, so you should get more gold. But it doesn't. We didn't know what they were for ages. We couldn't work out what it was and why sometimes we were respawning and sometimes we weren't. It was very confusing, and then we finally figured it out after
probably a tutorial that we just button mashed through, to be fair. Yeah, I know what we're like. The other thing was just, I was going to mention the masteries. So they're kind of like mini in-game achievements, I guess, where if you do a certain thing enough, then you get a little pop-up and it gives you a bunch of gold. So it might be something as simple like kill 100 enemies or eat 100 bits of food or die 10 times or die in a particular way 5 times. And if you do these things, you unlock a little thing. And when you've unlocked one rank, you get another rank. And when you've got all three ranks, it quite often led to a real Steam achievement. So it might be eat 100 bits of food, eat 500, eat 1,000. And when you eat 1,000, you get the Steam achievement and a bigger bucket of gold. It was kind of nice, but I guess we didn't really aim to do any. We just, oh, cool, got some.
Oh, I did. I kept shooting food if you weren't eating, if you didn't need it. Once I realised that I could get an achievement that way, I just shot all the food. Literally would walk out of the room and be like, save that for later. And I go, all right, and just turn around and shoot.
You little cheeto whore, you.
My achievements.
Cool. So quickly going to just go over the multiplayer specifics. There's not too much to say, but we didn't really have any problems setting up a game. We just, one of us would go to the maker, start the game screen, and then it gives you the kind of arcade classic. Here's the four the four boxes. At that point, you can just invite someone in, or someone else in the room could pick up a controller. Local and online would just work seamlessly together, which is pretty nice. And then, as you mentioned before, when you play the game, it's kind of like you're all local because you're constrained to one screen. But I don't think we had any issues with lag or anything, did we? It was pretty smooth, right?
We didn't have any problems at all.
Even with kind of 50 or so bad guys running around and a bunch of projectiles, didn't notice any lag, which is nice. It's always good to confirm.
For people that aren't regular listeners, or we haven't mentioned it for a long time, you're in Sweden and I'm in the UK, so it's not like we're that close to each other either. So it's always always nice when a game works seamlessly with no lag at all. I mean, it should, but it's not like we're even on the same server. We're in completely different continents.
Yeah. So it's
the same continent. Well, not.
Nice. Topical. I like it. So cool. Let's kick on to talk about the things we liked and disliked. Do you want to start us off, Ben?
Yeah. My biggest like about it is it's just like a really nice presentation. It felt a lot like Forced, in that it doesn't feel necessarily like a AAA game, but it feels better than an indie game, if you see what I mean. It's like you'd look at it and say to yourself, that is a game that's probably priced at $20.
Yeah.
Like, that is not an indie game, but it's not a AAA game either. It's right in the middle. Really nice design, very fluid. As we said, sort of very quick to pick up and play. But graphically, it was great as well. I really like the fact that it had support for ultra-wide screens. I was always interested to know what would happen if one of us was on an ultra-wide screen and the other one was on a 16:9 screen, as to how that would work. Like, because if I went into the corner, you wouldn't be able to see me.
Yeah, how did the constraint work? That's interesting.
So I would be interested to know how that works. And maybe that was part of the problem that I experienced with the constraining, because it was probably designed for 16:9 rather than 22:10, potentially. Mm. I'm just plucking that out of the air. But
yeah, maybe.
Yeah, overall, nice presentation. So I really liked that. It felt really polished.
Cool. I just overall have positive things to say about the game. It was simple gameplay, but it was fun. It wasn't particularly, oh yeah, I must solve all these hard puzzles, but it was just engaging and fun, like good, simple fun. Yeah. And I felt that the campaign, it lasted about 5 hours, I think, and that was the correct length. Like, I don't think if it was 10 or 15, we maybe would have finished it, because it was a little bit, it would have got samey, but it didn't get samey in the length of the campaign. We played the campaign, played a round of Endless at the end, could probably have done one or two more if it was not the end of the night. And then I was like, yeah, got my money's worth, happy with this game, I'm done.
Yeah.
I could potentially play it again if some other friends picked it up and just wanted to drink some beer and play it as a different character, maybe experience it through as the wizard, but not itching to get back. But yeah, it was good.
No. So. I'd play it with four people. It would be kind of fun. I'd be interested to see that. But, you know, we've got plenty of other games to play as well. But we'll come to that.
Yeah.
I liked the competitive gold collection. So all the way through, you are collecting gold, but it's not shared between you. You get your own gold. So quite often, we'd both rush through a door and we'd ignore the enemies and just rush for the gold because you want to get it for yourself. And there was even a little crown. Once per level, one enemy would be wearing a little gold crown. And if you shot it off him, you could go and pick it up. And you'd hold it until someone hit you, and then it would fall off you and you'd have to go and pick it back up again. So quite often there was jostling to pick up the crown, because at the end of the game, end of the level, you'd get an extra 500 gold if you had it. But the nice thing was at the end it had these little bars that went up to show who earned the most gold, and then it would show greediest player would like stamp on top of that one. So it kind of made it like a nice little fun mechanic for us, because the game was actually fairly easy. Like, we didn't until the end. It was incredibly, like, we never had any problems. I don't think we even died in a level, did we? Apart from the boss fight.
I think there was one level that we had to restart. But apart from that, yeah, I mean, we lost lives, right? But we didn't.
But we didn't.
I don't think we restarted anything. There's only one level that we had to restart. We played it on normal, to be fair, and it does offer a hard difficulty. So
yeah, but it wasn't it wasn't massively challenging. So it was kind of nice to have that as like a little fun thing that we could do. We just sort of dick around, trying to grab all the gold, which I enjoyed. And it was good because at the end, you still ended up pretty much the same amount of gold overall. It was very rare that we were massively different. It's usually if you die, all your gold remains, and then your other player can go and pick it up, which is nice. But yeah, it's good. I kind of liked that. A lot of fun. And I liked the crown as well. That was a good mechanic just to add a little bit more to that competitiveness, because you literally run around wearing it, which is kind of funny, seeing your little ranger running around. He'll say something like, oh, nice and sparkly, it must be worth something.
And if you get hit too hard, then you cast it across the level and the other guy goes running for it. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun running around picking up gold.
I wanted to give a shout out for the wizard character. I mean, obviously, I have a little love for Magicka at heart as well, so that's a nice game with more complex spellcasting mechanics. But you know, this was fun too. I think you started out with, six different spells that you can cast. But instead of weapons, like the other characters, the wizard could trade out one of his spell types and trade in another type, effectively swapping out two spells and two other spells. So I guess the wizard has, what's that, about 12 different spells throughout the game, which you can at one point have six of. But it was really nice because you really had to, it led to a very different style of play. You had to kind of, oh, okay, I want to fireball these, which won't do much damage, but it'll, you know, just pump the damage out. Then I'll use my ice ray, which will slow them down, but I have to stand still when I'm doing it. So I need to get to a good position to do that. And then I'll put a force field up, which lasts for 5 seconds, but it won't respawn I can't use it again for 20. And it was, really, really nice. And I could see in a party of three or four, the wizard being super awesome to play. Like with two of us, sometimes I was a bit vulnerable. In a party of three with the elf and the Valkyrie, maybe, and the wizard I think would be super awesome. Big thumbs up for the wizard. If you're up for something a bit more complicated, worth trying it.
Yeah, It did look cool. It's too complicated for me. I just like running around, shooting stuff, shouting hoopla. My final like was I enjoyed the death character mechanic. I thought that was pretty cool how you had to like outrun him and he disappeared. I would have preferred it if he didn't disappear, because he'd disappear for a few seconds and then he'd come back after like 10 seconds. So it'd sort of like fade in and out, which I found a bit irritating. I'd rather he was just constantly there chasing you. But it was still cool. I liked it. It just made it a little bit, it made it more challenging because you had to avoid him, which was good. But yeah, disliking
quite often with a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. I have dislikes. The first one was the fact that you can shoot the food. I mean, aside from my issue of all the food looked the same and was inexplicably large turkeys and stuff, which is very peculiar. I can't remember what game it reminds me of. There is a game where you pick up like joints of food like that. I have a feeling I'm thinking of Redneck Rampage from like the mid-90s.
The classic.
Oh, yeah, certainly is. I can't remember. But anyway, it's very odd that it's just these pristinely cooked turkeys. It just doesn't fit in at all with the surroundings. Like, if it had just been potions, that would have made more sense. But in any case, it's really annoying that you can shoot it and that destroys it, especially when you can shoot it with a single arrow by accident and it goes, nope, that's gone. And then the other character will scold you, be like, don't shoot the food. Or like each one was different. Like your wizard guy called me a runt.
Yeah.
He's like, don't shoot the food, you little runt. I was like, oh, Jesus, all right. Calm down. So yeah, I I disliked that. I could have done without that. Like I would rather there had been less food and I couldn't shoot it, rather than there being the amount there was, but it was possible to destroy all of it.
No, it didn't bother me as much as you, but I agree that made it harder for especially you with the ranged. I thought the fact there were pristine turkeys and stuff, I quite liked it because it stood out and it was kind of funny. And B, I guess it's hearkening back to the original where like, all the red wizard needs food. And it's all about collecting food as you went through, so... I guess that's all part of the reason why I love it. But one of the things that I didn't really get on with was when you start the game, you're like, oh, there's a lot of things I can pick up and play when I get through it. There's going to be, like I say, there's about 20 other relics, which each give you a different power. I'm looking forward to playing with lots of things. I like variety when I play games. That's something you'll probably hear me say a lot in these podcasts, like, oh, lots of things to play with, lots of things to do, lots of variety. And I could see it right there. So I was like, oh, cool. Going to love playing with all that stuff. And by the end of the game, I'd bought two of them and upgraded one to like level 2 or 3 or upgraded both to level 2 or something, because you obviously want to make them better. I'm not playing through the game 10 more times just to try all those things out. I mean, I understand maybe you don't want to unlock all of them in one run, but it would be nice if you could unlock a few of them so you could try them out and mix things up. So it was a shame that the variety is there in the game, but we're never going to see it.
And also it was odd that you could only upgrade the talisman or the relic? The relics. They had upgrades, so you get like, you know, you buy your boots that make you faster, and then you can upgrade them and get faster still, and then upgrade them again, and then it does something else. And it's like, it would have been nice if you could do that with your bow. So, you know, you upgrade it and now you shoot your arrow slightly faster. You upgrade it, they do more damage per arrow. Like, that would have made sense to me. And if that had been priced at like 20,000 gold, 40,000 gold or something, then at least you're working towards it through the life of the character. But it just didn't really make sense that it was like, here's your bow. And if you want like a different outfit, that'll cost all the gold in the game.
Yeah, a whole run through for like 5 hours is a different
code. It's worth noting that the gold was not per player, but per character class. Oh. So if you collected 60,000 gold with the elf and then decided you were going to play as the wizard for a bit, then the wizard would have no gold because the elf
apart
has all the gold.
From at the end of each act, you got a bunch of gold which went to all your characters. And that was kind of weird.
Yes.
So you get to the end of act one, it's like, have 6,000 gold for all your characters. But
I think that's because it was a... Was that one of the masteries, like you defeated the boss? And so
but the masteries were per character.
Most of them were, but I think some of them were cross character. That's the only way I can think of it. Because you got gold for like completing world one. And that's probably across all of them.
I think the technical reason is probably that you can't go back and you can't kind of reset your progress. You know, so I guess it's impossible for a different character class to complete Act 1 again. I mean, they could have done it under the hood, right? But when you go back to play it again, you can pick any level with a different character. So maybe that was part of the reason. A boring technical reason. But anyway, it's kind of nice to have a bit of gold when you switch character. So
that ties in nicely with my main dislike, which is that the final boss fight is ridiculously difficult. Bearing in mind the rest of it was a cakewalk, and we're just going through oopla, oopla, and just picking up gold, dicking around. And then we got to the final boss fight, and we've done it 8 times now and still not beaten it. Which is odd. It is very difficult, especially the final phase when you get a ton of bad wizards that just, they start chucking stuff at you and you can't dodge it. You have to kill them before it hits you. And that coupled with a horde of other stuff and some imps and this big sword that's attacking you, and a load of mimicked bad guys, it makes it very, very difficult. we're not sure if it's maybe designed for 4 people and it doesn't scale, whereas the rest of the game does scale maybe, or whether we're just terrible, or whether we need to use a different class, or it's because we don't have enough gold to get the upgrade that we need, or who knows, but we can't finish the game. And so now we're likely never going to try again, because we've played it now for 5 hours. It's like we're pretty much done with it. It would have been nice to have finished the final boss fight, but I don't have a yearning to go and do it.
No, I mean, I'm going to just focus on those wizards, because they weren't really a dislike, apart from in this fight, because you meet them earlier on, and those wizards have the attack where a symbol appears over their head and a symbol appears under you, and you know that in 10 seconds you will take damage unless you hit the wizard first. I was like, that's a nice mechanic. It's an interesting thing when you can actually get to the wizard to stop him. But in the final fight, it's so mad and manic, and there's quite often 3 or 4 of these wizards around and only one of them casting this spell. So it's hard to find him, he might not be on the screen, and then, yeah, it's just a shit show. You can't hit him, and you take loads of damage when the damage comes through. So
that's crazy. There's so many people around them, it's impossible to tell who it is that's actually attacking you, and there might be 4 of them all attacking you at once, at which point you've got no chance. frustrating. The only comment that I really had is the constraint to one screen thing, which was a little bit irritating. It didn't really cause any major issues, but it was just slightly irritating sometimes. That might have been due to the ultra wide screens. I'm not sure. That would be my guess.
Guess they're trying to emulate the arcade cabinet experience, so I can see why they've done it, and I think that's why for me it's not quite a dislike, but it is. It would be cooler if it were open for you to run around when you're online.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the best games I've ever seen for that is the Lego games. They do co-op really, really nicely, whereby, because they do it on, it's only local. So if you imagine you're both on a screen, obviously the whole screen's taken up because you're both there. If one of you goes off the edge, then it seamlessly splits the screen into split screen. But the actual split moves around. So it's not necessarily a straight vertical or horizontal split. It might be a diagonal. And if you move your character around to the bottom of the screen, the split might rotate round so that it basically always tries to show you both the area that you want to see or where you're moving. So you don't just have a block split. And that was really good. I mean, even Toe Jam and Earl did that on the Mega Drive, not with the moving split, but as you went off screen, it would then go, ooh, now you're split screen. And then you come back together.
Yeah. Ooh.
So there's no reason that they couldn't have done that. I guess the reason they didn't is because you can have local and online players mixed together. If you've got 4 people, that would get messy quickly. If it was just 2, that's an easy problem to solve. But it's a shame that online you couldn't have done it that way, because it would have been nice, but not a major issue, just a minor wrinkle.
And the last thing I wanted to bring up, and this goes right back to the beginning where you're saying it's it's good quality, but not perfect quality, and that's the voice acting, which was not always the best.
Again, very much like Forced, if we remember Hide and Slay.
But it was, I mean, it wasn't, it definitely didn't detract from the game, and that's why it's not a dislike. But it also wasn't, it wasn't stunning.
If anything, it added to the game, because it was so terrible that it was amusing.
It's so bad, it's good. Like, there's movies that you know, you pick them up only because they're so bad. So
it is the Sharknado of voice acting.
Definitely made us chuckle. So let's wrap this up. Would you play it again, Benjamin?
Yeah, I would play it again. I mean, I'd prefer to play it again with maybe four people total, because I think that'd be better. If they added, say, another 10 levels, like if the DLC wasn't just a new character class, if the DLC was a new character plus there's a whole, you know, another third of the game, essentially, which wouldn't be that difficult because they reuse assets all over the place, different enemy types, different skins, I would pick that up and I would play that. It's not the sort of game I would play on my own, I don't think, because I think it'd be too difficult, and it's the kind of game that I prefer to play co-op. So I guess I might play it again with someone else. I think the chance of us playing it again together are limited, unless there's something new added in the future, which is, again, probably unlikely.
And that's partly just because we've got so many games to play, right? But I completely agree with you. Like, I quite often game on the PS4 on a Friday night, and if someone suggested we play that with three or four of us, I'd easily pick it up and play it again. And if they added more content, I would drop €10 or something for another 50% of the game, a new type of bad guy, and a new little act in the campaign. But
that's just the thing of it. We finished it, apart from the final boss fight. It's like, you mentioned Magicka quite a lot throughout, in relation to the wizard. That's a game that we played and completed together. And would I play that again? Maybe, but probably not, because there's other things to play rather than just replaying games we've already played.
Yeah.
Like, we could play Toe Jam and Earl, but I've completed that as well. So it's like, I probably wouldn't choose to do that. I'd, you know, play something that we've not played for ages, like Rocket League. So
yeah, this sort of content-based game.
Once you've finished it, you're done with it, really.
Yeah, and it's not a slight on the game. It's just, well, we've completed the content.
There's not enough do it again? Here. There's not enough here to make me want to play it again as a different character. Like, it's not meaty enough for that, in my opinion. Some people might like to replay it as every character and try and get all the upgrades and all the stuff. I can't be bothered. But that's not to distract from it. It's a great game.
Yeah, no, that leads on to the final question. Would you recommend it?
Yeah, I would. I think it's a good game. It's worth picking up. I forget how much I paid for it, or I might have got it in a Humble Bundle or something. I think I got it on sale. I think I bought it. But, you know, I probably wouldn't want to spend £20 on it. But I'd happily pay £10-15 on it, because I got 5 hours of gameplay out of it, and, you know, that's a decent price. You know, if it's cost the same as a cinema ticket and you get twice as much enjoyment out of it, then it's worth getting. I probably wouldn't get it for £20 for the amount of time that we played it, just because I'm only going to play through it the once. But no, I would recommend it. Yeah. It's a good game.
Again, a good game.
I feel I'm being overly negative.
No, not at all. I agree. Good. I mean,
it's all right.
We paid, I think it was €5, because we bought it on the Humble store when it was super cheap. I remember texting you and saying, hey, let's pick this up because it's really cheap at the moment.
Oh, yeah, it rings a bell.
And I definitely would have happily paid 10, maybe €15 for it, like you say. The full 20, I'm not saying I wouldn't if you caught me at the right time, but I'd probably wait for a sale in hindsight now. You know, if I was recommending it to a friend, I would say wait for it to be €10 and pick it up.
Yeah.
And it's definitely worth it, especially if you've got a group to play it with. I mean, don't buy it on your own. We never play online with randoms. We don't like other people, really. But
that's how you get syphilis.
but yeah, if you've got some friends who you're going to play it with, I think the value goes up the more friends you've got, because you can play it with four people. Maybe it's fun to play through twice with different characters and stuff. So yeah, but I can definitely recommend it. So cool. So don't forget to check out our website, www.connectingtohost.co.uk. And if you would like us to review a specific game or talk about something different, then hit us up on Twitter at CTHcast And we would love it if you could head over to iTunes and leave us a review. So thanks ever so much for listening.
Oopla.